Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hallelujah. Okay, let me open in prayer. Father God, I give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Father, I thank you for tonight. I ask you to deliver to us the message that we need to hear about receiving from you all things that you have freely given. We give you all the glory for it. I ask you to speak things that are beyond me, beyond my knowledge and understanding. I ask you to speak things from the Spirit of God and the Word of God that will truly bless those who listen. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, hallelujah. You know, one time I was preaching up in Bristol, and sometimes when you preach, you learn things because the Holy Spirit speaks something out of your mouth that you didn't expect to hear or say. And I was preaching and I heard the Lord say through me, he said, a lot of my people are really good givers, but they don't know how to receive. And that was a few years ago. And since that time, the Lord has started to teach me more and more that a lot of times he desires his children to receive things freely that they are not freely receiving because of fears or doubts or a lack of understanding. And so last year in Colorado, we actually had what we called a receiving meeting. We taught a little bit about how Jesus Christ paid for us to receive things freely. You know, it wouldn't be right if you went to him for salvation and you brought all your own merit and said, well, I should be saved because I did this and because I did that. No, we all know that you can do nothing. I can do nothing to earn salvation. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do one thing to deserve it. It was all mercy and grace. And we understood that, right? We got that message, and so we were able to freely receive salvation. But did you know that a lot of people in the body struggle after they receive free salvation? They struggle to receive healing or deliverance or comfort or any other thing from God, gifts from the Spirit, because now they feel like now they have to be worthy. You see how that's kind of a problem? God gave us freely all things to enjoy. He said so in his word. I'm going to read you a couple scriptures. First one I want to read is Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. What are all things? It says in 2 Peter 1 and 3, his divine power has granted us all things. Think about it. Past tense, has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's like saying everything you will need to live a godly life in this earth and to serve God and to live your life. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So I'm going to give you Well, let's just think about this one for a minute. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he said this thing to them. Now, he was sending them out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and get people delivered, wasn't he? You know what he said to me? He said, freely you have received, freely give. And you know what? It was as I was preparing this and praying into this, it occurred to me, if we don't have an understanding of what we have freely received, we might not be able to freely give it. If we don't really freely receive all things that Jesus has died for us to have, we won't be able to minister them to others or even understand how. You know, when I got, when I received the gift of the Word of Knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit, which I, by the way, I just believe that the Holy Spirit in us, he is and has all gifts. And if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you're born again and you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you know, the kingdom of heaven lives in you. And that means all the gifts of the Spirit live in you. They're already there. The kingdom of heaven is in you. And that's why Jesus was able to tell his disciples, freely you've received, freely give. Go, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. You know, because he had freely given it to all of us, his disciples. And so you know where the problem is? Sometimes for some people, there's an issue of saying, well, but I don't deserve it. Well, of course you don't. If you try to get a gift from God based on your own merit, you are not understanding the gospel message. And so I'll just give you an example. Let's say that you're trying to receive your healing, and maybe you don't understand these things. And this is real common in the body, and I used to have problems with this myself. But if you go to the Lord and you say, well, I don't understand why I haven't received my healing. I've prayed, I've fasted, I've done all that I know to do. I did this and I did that, and I'm doing all these things. What you're doing is saying, I've earned it, okay, give it to me now. When in fact, your healing was purchased with his blood, with his stripes. When they beat his body, you know that he bore all the sins of the whole world. And did you know that according to Isaiah 53, it says he carried our sickness and disease far away from us. He took it in his body. By his stripes, you were healed. He purchased it for you. It's a free gift. So think about if you have children or nieces and nephews, kids, and at Christmas time or at Hanukkah, you buy them a present and you wrap it. And you go out and you pick a really great present and you put it under the tree. Do you think that kid is going to hesitate to go rip the paper off because they don't think they deserve it? I promise. That doesn't even occur to them. And you know why? Because they understand it's a gift. They get, it's holiday time, it's Christmas time, I get free presents, yay, they're free. And so he starts ripping through the paper, right? Do you know that in some ways I think God wants us to do that with the gifts of the Spirit, with healing, with deliverance? How about this? In Isaiah 53, it says he carried our sorrows. Did you know I lived in sorrow and grief, which is other words for depression. I lived in that before I understood that he died to pay the price for that. And once as I began to get to know God and get to know his word especially, let me just say, we can't really know him without his word. The word of God is it's like a window, or we might even almost say binoculars, through which we look at heaven, through which we look at God. And if we don't look through the scope of the filter he gave us, we will look through our human filters and have all kinds of misunderstandings about God. We'll have wrong doctrine, wrong understanding. It'll be hard to receive. If I were, well, let's do it this way. I have some friends that have a food pantry. And once in a while, they'll have a food giveaway, right? Now, what if somebody on their way to go pick up food, the enemy says to them, well, you don't deserve that. You aren't a good enough person. You see the problem? If it's a free gift, now, am I saying that we can live like the devil? No, I'm not saying that at all. But we have to understand God's heart. God says he gave us freely all things to enjoy. Now, that's pretty amazing. To enjoy. Not just for religious purposes, you know, not just to be great saints, but to enjoy. You know why? Because he loves you. God loves you. Do you know he actually wants you to have joy? He wants you to enjoy his gifts. It says, ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus said that. It says, 1 Timothy 6:17, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. So I looked up the literal translation. It says, the living God who is giving to us all things richly for enjoyment. In other words, he wanted us to actually enjoy his gifts. Did you ever have God do something for you? Just a little thing that nobody knew about, but to you it was kind of important. You know, sometimes I think those are the best testimonies, little bitty things that, you know, you just said, hey, God, you know, could you do that for me? And a little thing, nobody knows about it, and God goes out of his way to do it. It's like the coolest thing ever, isn't it? But it's because, why? Because it gives him joy when we have joy and we testify to somebody, hey, you can't believe this thing God did for me today. When we testify that way, it's joyful. And what is strength? Our strength comes from our joy, the Bible says, right? So God is trying to get us to be able to receive more freely without all these ABCs from the devil. So the devil might come to you. Let's say that you want to receive something from God. You know, there's a lot of, I'll just use the example of gifts of the Spirit. There's a lot of people who want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, or let's say the fruit of the Spirit, but they feel like, well, I don't know if I'm worthy. You know, there's someone very dear to me who had been diagnosed with a terminal disease. and she was not yet saved. And I was sharing the salvation message with her. And she said, she looked up at me with these little tears, and she said, "I just don't know if I'm worthy." And I said, "You're not, and I'm not either. That's why he had to die, because we aren't worthy, but he is. It's a free gift. Your healing, your salvation, it's free. The gifts of the Spirit are called gifts because they're free. And so we can actually get into a custom and a pattern. When you read the scriptures, when God says he's given us all things to enjoy, of course we know it doesn't mean sin, right? Well, what are the all things? How do we know what he's given us? It's spelled out throughout the scripture. Throughout the scripture, it's spelled out, this is yours, and this is yours, and this is yours. And usually, it's even past tense, right? It's past tense, right? By his stripes, you were healed. All things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you have received it, and you shall have it. So I just want to give you kind of a picture here. One of the things that has made this easy for me is that as I fellowship with the Lord over the years, I've come to a much greater awareness of heaven. You know, it used to be that my life was, my focus was here on earth. Now, I love the Lord, but I thought of the Lord as being in heaven and myself as being on earth. Do you know that that is not scriptural? If you're born again, it says he's raised us up and seated us with him. So legally, in the spirit realm, you actually have a heavenly position. And it says to set your mind on things above. You have to develop an awareness that heaven is actually where your citizenship is. Heaven is actually home for you. And as long as you see this earth as your home, life will be harder, because here you're going to see your focus can't help but be on the troubles. There's always trouble. Even in good times, there's trouble, right? In every in even good lives, there's stuff that happens. But if you change your awareness to be God's heaven, you're always aware of the provision, the solution to the problem, the answer, the healing, the gifts, the promises of God. You're always aware of it, and it becomes like a vast warehouse of everything you need for life and godliness. He has freely given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Where is it? It's in heavenly places. He's already bought it. He's already purchased it. And so it's like a giant warehouse of a billionaire that has everything that his children will need. That's pretty amazing. God desires his children to get very good at receiving. You know why? It glorifies God for his children to walk in the covenant. It glorifies God for his children to freely receive and manifest. You know, Abraham was very rich. And did you know that the people around him understood that Abraham had the favor of God? You know that the people, even people who didn't know God, right? Even kings from other nations who didn't know God knew that if they had favor with Abraham, they'd have favor with God. And if they blew it with Abraham, they would be in trouble with God. Do you know that the Bible says that if you be Christ's, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Do you know that if you're Abraham's seed, God desires for you to walk in such anointing, such gifting, such blessing that people say, your God is God. Their God is God. He's the real God. Because of the favor that follows you, right? So people should begin to notice a difference about your life. First, they should notice our kindness, right? They should notice the way we do things, that we're more ethical, that we should live different from the world. Why? Because heaven is our home. Heaven has higher standards of behavior, doesn't it? But we don't do that because we're earning something. We're doing that because he purchased us. And he purchased all the things in heaven for us. God is releasing us in these next days, I think, to show off heaven. And so, you know, an old religious spirit will make us feel like we're not worthy and God is mad and everything's about judgment. And people who do not understand the mercy and the compassion and the grace of God, they don't draw people to God, because what they do is they paint a picture of God that is not his true nature and character. Now, is God a great judge? Yes. And will there be a judgment at the end time? You bet. But you have to understand, God, we are his children. If you're born again, you're his very own child. And he has this vast amount of resources. And you say, well, okay, where is it, Holly? You're saying it's in heaven. How do I receive it? So here's the thing. When you became born again, your spirit man was recreated, right? You know that. It says you're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You're not just forgiven. You're a brand new creation in the spirit. You have a new spirit man. If you didn't have that, you know, your flesh can't walk around in heaven, can it? Your carnal mind, it can't walk around in the heavenlies because it's of this earth, right? Jesus talked about when a person's born again, he said that there were people who were born of water and the spirit. In other words, the water is, everything on the earth is made of water, right? You're made of water. Your mother's water broke. You were born of the flesh. And if you're born again, you're born of the spirit. And until you were born of the spirit, there was no communion with heaven. There was no open communication with the Father. Because God is spirit. Those who communicate with him, those who worship him, must worship him in the spirit and in the truth. That's what the Bible says. There's no other way. Your brain, your physical body don't commune with God, but your spirit man does. Okay? When you got your born-again spirit, that was your new wine skin. You couldn't receive the Holy Spirit, right? What's he? He's the new wine. God couldn't pour the baptism of the Holy Spirit into somebody that wasn't born again, right? Because it would tear the wineskin and it would ruin the wine. That's what he said. So he waits for somebody that has a new wineskin, right? So that the disciples, right, they're saved, but he tells them, now go into all the world and preach the gospel, but don't go until you receive the power, right? The promise of the Father. What's the promise? The new wine, the Holy Spirit, the boldness, the Spirit of God living in you. What is that? That's heaven in you. Did you know that you are actually housing heaven? Jesus said so. He says, no, you're not. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven is in you, right? So contained in your mortal body, if you have the new wineskin, which is a born-again spirit, and you have the new wine, you have the Holy Spirit, you are the house of God. That's what the Bible says. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what is the best thing for the people of this earth to see? The best thing for them to see is an open manifestation of a person that isn't just housing heaven. You know, a lot of people house heaven and don't even know it. There's a lot of believers that house heaven and go the whole of their life and never really understand that they are a vessel of the power and the glory of the Most High God. And once in a while, throughout history, certain men and women have manifested the presence and the glory of God. They've manifested heaven on earth. And people have said, oh, they're greatly called. They're special. Well, they're special, but I want to say this to you. They're not special because God handpicked them and only them. They're special because they figured it out. They're special because they came into a way of fellowship with God, consuming themselves with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, devoting themselves to the heavenly place and presence so that it began to overflow and spill over into the earth realm. Now, the whole reason I got fired up about the things of God is I met someone, and I met this person that had the fire of God on their life. So much power, so much fire. It was stunning. I'd never seen or heard of anything like it. And I knew that's the real thing. I knew that this person had absorbed so much. See, when there's an ongoing fellowship with heaven, something happens, right? We're sort of changed, transformed, converted into like a manifestation. The stuff is in you, but it has to be activated by the Spirit of God through communion with heaven, communion with God. So you can have a cell phone, right? But if it isn't activated, charged, if there isn't times when it's plugged in and recharged, it'll only last so long, right? It can only do so much. You have to be plugged into heaven. But what happens is as you grow in God and you gain an awareness of what Jesus has done through his word, look at the covenant. Look at what he purchased. It's hundreds of things. It's not just one thing. It's not just the forgiveness of sin. There's hundreds of things, promises upon promises, that Christ died for us to have. And it is his fervent desire. He is actually longing for children who say, you know what, if nobody else wants that, I'll take it. If nobody wants that, I'll take it. We don't go because we're worthy. None of us were worthy. I have nothing to offer God, right? Now, I'm worthy in that he gave me his righteousness. And that's the righteousness I walk in. Because I have a revelation that I have his righteousness, the devil can't get me on it. When I go to receive something, anything from God, whether it's healing, whether it's a gift of the Spirit, the enemy might come and say, well, you don't deserve that. And you know what I say? You're right. I don't. I never have. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ gave me his righteousness. And it's 100% every day of my life. He never misses. He never fails. So you might as well go somewhere else with that argument. You're not going to get anywhere with me. Ever. Never. Because I have that revelation now. God wants you to understand who you are in Christ and who he is in you and what he has purchased for you, so that when you go to receive something that Jesus Christ has given you, you don't listen to any of the darts of the enemy. Above all, what does the Bible say? Taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. What's a fiery dart of the wicked? It sounds like this. You don't deserve to walk in the gifts of healing. God didn't pick you to do the working of miracles. God wouldn't use you to do the word of knowledge. You don't measure up. Well, remember, he's the father of lies and the truth is not in him. That's his job. His job, listen, the devil's job, this is what he tries to do. He tries to separate you from God. He tries to separate you from the Word. He tries to separate you from the Holy Spirit. And he can't really ever do it. He doesn't have the authority to do it. And God will never do it, right? Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Look, I will never leave you nor forsake you, never. It's like he's saying, you're stuck with me. You know, if you've accepted me as Savior, as I'm with you. Good day, bad day, I'm with you. But the devil will come, and the only hope he's got is if he can persuade you that the relationship is broken. So imagine if there were two very close friends, and someone else came up and said to, I'll just make up some names, Mary and Joan. I'm just making these names up. Mary and Joan are good friends. And let's say that a stinker named, I'm just making this up, Sandy comes up and says to Mary, you know what Joan said about you? She's mad at you. And she's mad because of blah, blah, blah. You know that that's sowing discord. That's accusing the brethren, right? And it's for the purpose of severing a relationship. That's exactly what the devil does to God's children, to try to get them to believe God is mad at you. God doesn't want to bless you. Oh, you've blown it too bad. You took a wrong turn years ago and you're never going to get back on the road. Those are all lies. And if you come to understand, that's why the word is so important. If you come to understand the word of God, he can never take from you. The devil can never take from you the promise of God. Good day, bad day, you're God's own. Good day or bad day, you didn't earn anything. Jesus paid it all. His presence is yours freely. His presence, of all the things God has given me, the thing I value the very most is his presence. Do you know all of us can walk in his presence? It's a free gift. God wants, actually, let me just say this to you. Whether you know it or not, his presence is with you all the time, every day, all night. No matter what kind of day you've had, no matter what kind of mistakes you've had, this isn't the Old Testament. The New Testament is different. It's a new and better covenant based on new and better promises where he comes to dwell in us. That didn't happen in the Old Testament. They longed to look into, even the prophets longed to look into, the kings long to look into the things that you and I have. You and I have things, do you know, that David didn't have. We have things Josiah didn't have. We have things Solomon didn't have. We have things Isaiah didn't have. Did you know that? In accordance with the word. You see, they long to look into what we have. We can actually walk in the manifested presence of God. What is the manifested presence of God? The presence of God changes everything. When the presence of God comes, often people will just be healed just because of the presence. Miracles can happen in the presence. Salvations happen in the presence. The presence, sometimes it will bring a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Boom, people get saved. Just the presence. And so what God wants us to do, now what's manifested presence? Manifested presence is this way. If you commune with God in the place of the Spirit enough, that communication begins to become easier and easier. It's as though heaven begins to flow through you. And at first, it's entirely a personal relationship. It's entirely about your personal communion with God. But over time, as you do it and do it and do it, it begins to overflow. It begins to bubble over. Just think about the upper room. The Holy Spirit came upon them. It says there was a noise like a violent rushing wind, right? And we believe that the heavens were torn open as the Holy Spirit entered and filled them. He put tongues of fire on their head and he filled them with the Spirit. And it's almost like they couldn't take, you know, were you ever in the presence so strong where your body almost couldn't handle it? Did you ever see somebody that comes under the real power of God? And sometimes their body will actually react because it's almost so much, it's almost too much. Do you ever have so much of God's presence come upon you that you almost have to say, oh, I want everything you have, but I can't take any more, you know, lift for a moment, right? Because it's so intense, because his power is so vast. But you see, the more we press into him, the more time we spend with him, the more it becomes something that overflows. Now remember, they're in the upper room and it comes on them so strong that it's like they burst out onto the street. And they're acting kind of strange. But what it is the power of God and the presence of God that was upon them. And it took the whole town. I mean, it took thousands of people got saved. Thousands of people got saved. Because they didn't know what to make of this. I'm going to tell you, when the presence of God begins to manifest, manifest means to take something that has been hidden and bring it out into where it's visible, tangible. Tangible means touchable, feelable. You know, were you ever in a meeting where you felt the tangible presence of God? I think most of you have been. Well, why is that? Right now, I'm going to teach you something. This is real important. That presence has never left you. From the moment you were born again and from the moment you received the baptism of the Spirit, you are filled with the presence of God. But what happens is that needs to be activated through relationship and communion with God until you become accustomed to living in his world instead of this world, okay? As that becomes the norm, right? So as you spend time with him and spend time with the presence, you know, I like to say it this way, it's good to woo the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit loves the saints and he's here to help us. That's what he's here for. He loves to help the saints. He loves to teach us and mentor us. He loves to solve our problems. He helps me with everything, every little thing. You know, he's teaching me how to plant potatoes. Teaches me everything because I ask him about everything. He loves that. But, you know, you can woo him just like you would woo someone. How would you woo someone? You know, maybe you'd bring them flowers. Maybe you would be kind. You know, you woo someone. When you want the Holy Spirit to come in your house, there's things you can do to honor him. See, that presence never leaves you and it's in you, but if you're not aware of heaven, if all of your focus is on earth and your life and your situation, you probably could be depressed, right? Because there could be difficulty. And if you're not looking into the word through the scope of the word into the heavenly things, you will misunderstand what's really happening. You, of course, you remember the story where Elisha was surrounded by angels, but his servant couldn't see it. Remember that? He had to ask the Father to open his servant's eyes. See, to the servant, it was an absolutely lost battle, wasn't it? Well, there's no hope. We're surrounded. We're completely surrounded. There's a reason to be depressed. I'm going to be sad. I'm worried. I'm scared. And his boss said, ah, Lord, open his eyes. You know, his boss wasn't afraid, was he? The prophet wasn't afraid. He knew exactly what was going on. You know why? He had an awareness of the realm of heaven. He said, there's more with us than with them. You don't need to be worried. You just need to open your eyes. You need to see heaven. You need to acclimate yourself to heaven. You need to rearrange your life and the scope of your thinking and the focus so you understand what's yours. Because all things, what does the Bible say? All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. What are all things? All the things he has promised in his word. So when you have promises in the word, you can know that that's already sitting in heaven with your name on it. The minute you got born again, I'm talking about the second that you got born again, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and every promise manifested was tied to your account legally. I'm telling you, it's already yours. That's why so many of the promises are past tense, right? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to us. Where is it? In heavenly places. It has been given to us. So the minute you got born again, you know, if your name was Frank Roberts, isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The minute his name got written in the Lamb's Book of Life, every heavenly promise, every single thing Jesus died for us to have, which is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things, was tied to Frank Roberts' account. Frank's name got put actually on Jesus' account because we're joint heirs with Christ. You have a joint account with Christ. And it just, don't let that throw you, the terminology. It's not just a bank account. It's an account of the warehouses of heaven. There's so much vastness in heaven of what's been given to the saints that we have not received because we've either not seen it or understood it or felt like, oh, I don't know if I'm worthy. Well, it's a free gift, and of course you're not. And of course I'm not. And yet we are now, right? Because Jesus has given us his own righteousness. So if the devil comes and says you're not worthy, you'd say, well, it wasn't. But amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Yes, you're right, devil, I was a wretch. But guess what? Jesus Christ has given me his righteousness. And not only that, he who knew no sin became sin for me, the Bible says, that I might become the righteousness of God. So guess what, devil? I am righteous. He says, but you blew it this morning. But guess what? I am the righteousness of God. I don't just have it. That's what the Bible says. I want you to say, I am the righteousness of God. So I can freely receive all that Jesus paid for me to have. So now think about this. Let's talk about the gifts of the Spirit. People think, I want to be used of the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, no problem. God, did you know that God wants that more than you do? You know, we think, oh, we have to be good enough or earn it, or maybe God doesn't want to use me that way. I used to think that way. God lovingly rebuked me. He said, I wish all my children moved in the gifts. I wish all my children would receive the gifts that I have given them. Because every time somebody is used by the Holy Spirit, every time somebody has a gift that is truly of the Holy Spirit, not a fake one. Some of you who like to fake it, that's not real, and we all know it, so stop it. If you're a fake prophesier, stop it. Stop it. Hallelujah. But if the Holy Spirit really uses you to speak a word, if the Holy Spirit uses you to give something, if the Holy Spirit uses you to touch somebody, they are forever changed, and the first thing that happens is they think, I want that God. The gifts of the Spirit draw people to God. They make people hungry for God. When you get a real accurate word or an accurate prophecy or an accurate interpretation of tongues, right? Or you go up to somebody and you lay hands on them. We were in a hospital one time. We were praying. Edgar and I went to pray for a lady in the hospital who was very sick. And as we left, we were walking down the hall, and the anointing of God came on me. And this is not me. Those of you who know me know that I would never do this, but I did. The Holy Ghost came on me, and a boldness came. And I popped a door open. It was like about maybe 4 or 5 inches open. And I popped it open with my hand and said, anybody in here need prayer? And the lady said, there was a lady reading her Bible. And she said, oh, I've been begging God to send someone to pray with me. You know, that was the Holy Ghost. And of course, God had us deliver the goods, right? Where were the goods? They were in heaven, right? But because we understood the process of how to receive freely, you have received freely, give. You have to, in order to give, you got to freely receive. And you can't be measuring yourself. You can't be comparing yourself among yourselves. That's not wise, right? And you can't be constantly measuring yourself. Because let me tell you something. Even if you grow to be really perfect, you're still, your righteousness, it's filthy rags. But His is 100% every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year for the rest of your life. Jesus' righteousness is in you. Your born-again spirit has been made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I already quoted you that scripture. So when you operate in the realm of the spirit, not your stinky, stinky flesh, which still stinks, right? And so does mine. When you operate in the realm of the spirit, you are manifesting heaven on earth. Because what happens? You're reaching into heaven saying, I'll take that healing for this lady. How am I doing it? By whatever word the Holy Spirit gives me, whatever touch He gives me. Sometimes He'll show me where to put my hand on someone's shoulder, someone's back, someone's head. Sometimes He'll tell me. One time He told me to sing into someone's throat. They were struggling, and God said, sing into their throat. Now, that's a little weird, but you know what? Jesus made mud. Jesus spit and made mud. Well, if God tells you to do it, you just do it. You know, well, it'll look weird. Well, so did Jesus. So what? You know what? It's pretty cool when somebody gets healed. Nobody thinks you're weird then. So I sang in tongues into the person's throat and they got healed. You know why? Now see, if I tried that in the flesh another time, if I made that into a formula, you know what? That wouldn't work. You know why? Because it's not a living act of God. You can't follow the pillar where it was 2 years ago. You know, right? You have to follow where it is today. If you get a word from the Lord today, if you have somebody that has a situation and you want to help them, you pray in the Spirit and you pray into it until you get the package from God. Maybe the package is go and tell them this, or stay out of it, or send them this check, or whatever it is. That is a package from heaven into earth. As you release it, listen, when you give a word, you're actually releasing heaven into earth, because you know how heaven operates? By words. How did God create the planets? Let there be. How does He create anything? Let there be. How does He create things through you? Let there be. How does He create? If somebody has to have a new organ, if somebody has to have their healing, how does He create that? What He does is He gives you an unction to speak. Now, you can do it through confession. It's just, it takes, sometimes takes a little longer. I'm not teaching on that tonight. But, you know, I've had times where God would say one sentence through me and we'd see a miracle. Now, I'm going to say this to you. Was that the working of miracles? No, it was the word of knowledge releasing a miracle into the earth. And it's so simple. Do you know that little children can operate in the word of knowledge? Little children, a five-year-old can operate in the word of knowledge. A friend of mine, she was going through a really, really difficult time. And she was struggling, and her little four-year-old boy went upstairs and found a certain book, and they had lots of books upstairs. And he came down, he said, Mommy, you're supposed to read this book. It was a word of knowledge from God. He heard God. God told that little boy, Mommy, you're supposed to read this book. So he brings her the book, she reads the book, and in the book is the answers that she needs. See, anybody can operate in the word of knowledge. Anybody can operate in the gifts of the Spirit freely. Because if you think you have to deserve it or earn it, then you'll never be able to walk in it. You know what you do? You just freely receive. Jesus, I just believe you can use me. You know, not because of anything I've done. You know, Daniel said it great. He said, we're not asking you to do this because we deserve it. We're asking you to do this based on your great mercy and compassion. We're not asking him to do this because of our goodness, because we don't have goodness. We ask him because of his goodness, and that gives me faith, because his goodness is always good. His righteousness, it's always righteous. When he heals people through me and through you, it's based on his righteousness, which is 100% every day. And so that can give you faith that every day you can be used of God, no matter what your day has been, no matter what your perfection or imperfection. Listen, Hebrews says, He has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Right? Because in your spirit, man, He made you perfect. Your outsides, we're still working on those, right? And mine too, right? But when you come to a place of maturity of understanding that, you understand, I don't have anything to offer. I'm not used of God because I've ever done anything right. Nothing. I'm not used of God because I ever did anything right. I get that. I have nothing to offer Him. Just this vessel, my big mouth. That's all I have to offer Him. But what He has brought to the table is 100% righteousness, all the promises that were purchased by His shed blood, and all He requires is for somebody to believe. And if you say, well, I have trouble believing, do you know that faith works by knowledge? If you're having trouble believing, it's because you don't know enough about the gospel message. You don't know enough about what He has done. When you come to understand what He's done, you'll come to understand it's nothing we did right. It's nothing we do right. It's Him doing it through me because He's good, because He loves people. It's Him. He doesn't use us. It's not even for our own sake that He uses us. It's for the sake of His people, people He loves. God cares about people. God cares about people in the kingdom and those who are not yet in the kingdom. He yearns over them and He longs over them. And when you start to get that heart, it's not about me being used. It's not anything about me being used. None of us. If you still are thinking about, I'm not being used yet, then you probably won't be, because it's not about that. When you begin to think, Lord, how can I help Your kingdom? How can I help Your people? What can I do? You won't care if it's the greatest or the least job. You don't care if it's something that will help His people, because when you get the kingdom heart, then what happens? It's just like stewardship. When you begin to steward things for the king, you begin to care about His kingdom. Then God says, you know, listen, no good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold from somebody that has converted their heart from it's all about me to it's all about what You want, Jesus. Listen, night comes when no man can work. We don't have a lot of time left. I don't know how much, but I don't think it's all that much. Night comes when no man can work. Right now, we still have some light. And Jesus said, we have to work while it is day. You know, I really think we're on like the speed speed dial, speed discipleship. You know, it is time to stop being so self-absorbed and stop looking at what's in it for me and how am I doing and how's my life going. It's all about me. Listen, that will make you depressed. You know? And it's time to begin to seek the Lord to change our heart. You know, I went after God to change my heart because I got tired of myself. I got tired of my selfishness. I got tired of looking at, you know, this was years ago, and God really just showed me so much of what we as Christians want. It's really about self. It really is. And I began to go after God. You got to change my heart. This stinks, and I don't want this. This isn't why I'm here. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, but as you press in, as you pray and ask the Lord to show you the motives of your heart and get those things converted and begin to be a person that really cares for the kingdom, then I'm telling you, God will allow all kinds of things to flow through you because it's no longer about you. You know, think about it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things get added to you. Why? Because it's about the kingdom. It's no longer about me. When it's about me, it's an ingrown toenail. I mean, it really is. It can't really be blessed of the Lord. You know, so much of what we see in the church is, it's, you know, self-oriented. So I don't mean to, you know, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just telling you the way things are. But when we make ourselves an open heaven, you understand, we have access to heaven 24/7. God designed it that way. God designed it that way. We can actually live in an open heaven. We can actually live in a place where God's word is a continuum. And this is for every believer. This just isn't for those who are specially called. This is the new covenant. This is the new covenant that every believer, listen, it says you won't have to go to your neighbor to find out what God is saying. That was new. That's a new thing in the new covenant. That was never the case in the old covenant. You had to go to a prophet to find out what God was saying in the old covenant, but not in the new. It says you won't have to go to your neighbor to find out what I'm saying. I'll write my own law in your heart. What? I'm going to have communion with you personally. I'm inviting you into the Holy of Holies personally. You don't have to go through the high priest anymore, because your high priest, Yeshua, Jesus, has already come in. He tore the veil from top to bottom to make a way for every believer, from the greatest to the least, to come in fellowship. And again, you know, if you have a spirit of guilt and condemnation, that thing will try to keep you out of the Holy of Holies. But you know what? You're the only one that can choose to refuse, because God will never close his door to you. You say, even if I blew it, absolutely. And you know, where will you find deliverance? In the throne room. Where will you find deliverance? In his presence. Where will you find deliverance? When you really messed up, and you say, well, I messed up 800 times. Good. Keep going. You just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep going, and you just keep going. And you go every time and say, listen, I don't even have the ability to deliver myself, but you do. And I believe that because you're good, you're righteous, you're holy, you're full of grace, that you can deliver me from this habit. You can deliver me from this addiction. I don't have anything to offer, and I don't even think I can do it, because I tried so many times and failed. If you ever had something you couldn't seem to conquer, but you know what? You just keep going. And you know what? This is the wonderful thing about God. If you have that heart, he never gets mad. You know the only time God gets mad is when somebody says, oh, you know, I'm forgiven. I can live any way I want. I don't have to change. Right? I've actually met people with that attitude. It's very, very dangerous. Right? God loves his children. And if we come in with a right heart and a true heart, we say, I truly want to change. I just don't seem to have the ability. Don't feel like he's condemned you. He's saying, come in to the Holy of Holies. Let me wash you and cleanse you and pick you up again, dust you off. And I'll tell you the secrets of heaven. I'll tell you how to get delivered. I'll set you free. I'll work with you. And you just keep coming back. It's about relationship. You know, people who are religious think it's about being perfect and attaining perfection. Now, that's a good desire, but I'm going to tell you something. You know what it's really about? It's about oneness with God. It's about becoming one with God in the Spirit. He who joins himself to the Lord, the Bible says, is one spirit with him. You know that means that your born-again spirit is one with the Spirit of God. And so you have to develop an awareness and a communion. And how do you do it? You just keep knocking on the door. You just keep saying, show me how, teach me how. Teach me how to commune with you. Holy Spirit, teach me how to commune with you. It's, again, it's not through these ears. It's not through these physical eyes. It's not through our carnal brain. But in the spirit, man, the Holy Spirit is continually speaking to us. He's continually telling us or warning us or giving us peace. He's giving us an unction. It's not always words. Sometimes it's a sense. Don't go there. Don't go there. One man, I recently heard a testimony, a man, he was driving his car, and the Lord told him to turn at a certain light and go another way. And he said, it takes me like 10 minutes longer. I forget the amount of time. And he went straight and got in a terrible, terrible accident. And the Lord still bailed him out, still healed him. But you know, it would have been better if he'd have gone the other way, right? The Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. Isn't that wonderful? He'll give us strategies how to avoid problems. I have a friend who, they were really, really struggling financially, and things were very bad, and there was some deliverance needed. Her dear husband needed some deliverance, and it was pretty intense. And the letter came, and it was from, I forget, one of the utility companies, and the Lord said to her, don't open that letter. Well, she did. Well, she opened the letter, and her husband came home and read it, and it was the final straw, was the straw that broke the camel's back, and he said, I couldn't take one more thing. He went down actually went to the beach. He was going to kill himself. She didn't know what to do, so she got on her knees and she prayed and just sang worship and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the Lord showed up to him on the beach and talked him out of suicide. Now, that's a good testimony, but a better testimony would have been if she didn't open the letter. Because he told her, don't open that letter. What was he trying to do? He was trying to save them from the problem, because he knew that the husband was just in a place where he couldn't take one more thing. Don't open. If the Lord tells you don't do something, just don't do it. Now, here's where there's a problem. She actually thought that because she opened the letter, the Lord was punishing her. He wasn't punishing her. The Lord always wants the best for his kids, right? And the Lord ended up bailing them out over and over, and they did get their deliverance. A wonderful marriage and a wonderful testimony. But what I'm just saying is, we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it won't be words. Sometimes it'll just be a gentle unction, you know, just a sense. But it doesn't come from the emotions. It comes from deep inside. Amen. So I love you. And I just pray that you will learn how to receive freely. Freely receive. I'm going to have you pray this prayer. I'm going to have you say, actually, let me just start at the beginning. I'm just going to have you say, Father God, Creator of the universe.
Father God, Creator of the universe.
Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Father of Abraham.
God of Israel. You are the one and only God.
Your son, Jesus,
came to this earth as a human,
lived
a holy, pure, and perfect life.
He died on a cross for me.
He took my sins.
He took my sickness.
He took my grief and sorrow.
He took it all and he buried it.
When he died, he was planted in the earth. He rose again and left it all behind. He ascended to the Father. He sprinkled his holy blood upon the altar. Father, let Jesus be Lord of my life. I make you the Lord. You are the one and only God. There is no other. And I'll have no other gods before you. Now, Father, all that Jesus died for me to have, every promise in the Word, I receive it freely. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But you give it to me because you're good. You're righteous. You're holy. And I receive it freely, every single one. And I will not believe the devil when he says I can't have it, because you desire for me to have it. In Jesus' name. So I know that was a little long, but I figured if you weren't saved, I'd just get you on the way.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.